The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and Spectrum One present the NAWC. For nearly a decade, the wrestling podcast of record, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sponsored this week by the following.
King, subject, Raw, WTF moments. Michael Cole.
What villains versus the New Day? Tag team action live next on SmackDown. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are live tonight on Monday Night Raw. Go ahead, let me have it.
Byron has rubbed off on you, Michael. We are live on Raw, not SmackDown. You're excited about live SmackDown. I get it.
Okay, it happens to the best of us.
Just f*** off. It's John O'Clock for the first time this week. Get in there. And get this right, this sentence actually left the lips of JBL.
Right now, a glorious stomp in a mud glory hole right made in English.
Now, children, when a man and woman love each other very much, but they don't have much money, they go to a public bathroom and find a hole in the cubicle wall. The man then unzips his Michael Cole talking about the women's champion.
It was a confrontation in the ring between the women's champion Ric Flair, or Charlotte Flair, and her father, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
F*** off, John O'Clock.
Even O'Clock is right, that is stopped twice a day, Byron.
Five past John, you win, this is a direct quote by the way, you win by winning matches. Michael Cole back again, and this time he said that 14 out of 16 is 90%. My mathematics tells me it's 87.5%. You know what I'm going to say next, so I won't bother. That's it. WTF moments. King, subjects, bye. Bye-bye.
Boy, I hope Mauro Ranallo gets drafted to Raw in the worst possible
way. No, you don't.
Oh, you know, excuse me. That would be a dream come true, although... We saw the rumor draft list leaked, when I call that a news with a Z, as we all, you know, I don't believe that yet.
But here's some news with an S. Nikki Haymon is conspicuous by her absence. Apparently she's trying to play Let's Make a Deal with VRM to get that chair off of his hands from the pay-per-view from Extreme Rules. So... it's John O'Clock, I mean Jim O'Clock, ladies and gentlemen, here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as presented by WrestleChat.net and the Freaking Awesome Network. I am your guest compere for the evening, Jim Williams, so glad you're joining us. And I've got a couple of the usual suspects around the table. First off, let me get a shout-out to Chief High Muckety Buck, my main man, Carl Chenier, engineering this bad boy tonight from Louisiana. Hey, Carl.
Where was Michael Cole's mind? In the gutter somewhere?
Well, you can't take the SmackDown out of him. It's his baby. That's where.
How fitting to end another season of this fine podcast, eh, Jimbo?
Yes, and we will talk more about that towards the end, but this is the end of our ninth season. More on that later. Joining us from Brooklyn, New York, he's the man who took the biggest bite out of the biggest apple, and he went and got some cheesecake afterward. Jason Block.
Yes, and, you know, at this late hour, sadly, we're going to have to talk about some a legal issue that's pretty sad, legitimately.
It very much is.
And could we say we are never going to see this man on WWE TV again? I don't believe so.
Might have to whitewash the record books, too.
Yeah.
Might have to give him the Benoit treatment. We'll talk about that Hall of Famer later on. Here's a Hall of Famer to be also out of Brooklyn. Fittingly, he goes now by the name of Shotgun. So here he is coming out firing from B-Town. Hey, Shotgun.
Well, yeah, actually, I'm all the way in some random-ass pier in Brooklyn, New York, coming to you live.
How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. You're full of piss, vinegar, or vigor, I should say, and bourbon, I hear.
Oh, yes. Yes, I am. Bullet bourbon, to be exact. It's very good.
Very, very nice.
A
nice
than Johnny Walker.
Just speak up just a tad.
Just a little. Just a little.
A little louder. That's all.
Better than Johnny Walker 57.
How about now?
There we go.
That's good.
There we go. Lots to get to on the show, including Scooby-Dooby-Doo, it's part two. We talked about the thing Jason mentioned. A little progress as we get to within 2 weeks of Money in the Bank being a thing. Another big show coming up this coming week on the network. Talk about burying the hashtag hatch. And yes, well, we have to talk about the match the world is divided on. That and more coming up. But first, we have to go back to Memorial Day. We honored those who died so we could all watch wrestling. But nobody cares about that because it's time to talk about his name is John Cena! Yeah, that guy came
back. Where's VRM with the soundboard when you need him?
Well, the soundboard has been muffined, if you will. We will bring you up to speed on that. Still working on getting the soundboard. What was that? Yes, the ponies, enough said. But before we even get to Cena actually coming back and saying for the first time in many a month, Hackeet, let's talk about the new merch rule and how the new merch rule had to be changed at the 11th hour, Jason, because of a C&D in a social media sense, yes.
Yes, a C&D from PBR. Now, here's what happened. As we all know, what is the rule when John Cena comes back? New merch, right?
Of course.
Because, hey, it's summer vacation. The kids need to wear their John Cena shirts at summer camp. So what happened was...
How do you know these things? Would you like to have a seat?
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. No, all joking aside, but we all know it's true. Sure. But here's the thing. So he comes out with this shirt, I believe it said, made in 2002, and the logo, if you looked at the shirt, looked really close to the Pabst Blue Ribbon logo. Now, we all know that John Cena has professed his love for PBR on many occasions, which is true, right? In many an interview, he has said this. So Pabst Blue Ribbon, yes?
John Cena, if you're listening to this, you have the worst taste in beer I've ever heard of.
Yeah, that is.
Sam Adams.
There you go.
Hey, come on, Boston, come on.
Yeah.
How dare you call yourself a beer drinker, sir?
Right. So what happens is that the people at PBR basically said, John Cena, we have a chokehold called the C&D, cease and desist. It says, we can see you. Mm. So the design people, because we all know some of the shirts weren't printed until, the day of.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a new shirt with a different design, which they Triple H and Vince and the marketing team probably spent the whole weekend getting the shirts ready. And
for John. Everybody's gonna want it. God, yeah.
Yes. So Cena comes out with his new shirt and his Ellen jorts, and props to Cena for having the balls to wear them.
Yeah.
No joke. Yes. No joke. Okay. So. But then something pretty amazing happened, right, Jim?
Yes.
What's wrong with Cena wearing Ellen jorts?
No. Nothing wrong with it. I think it's pretty damn cool.
For that because
Ellen. What's manlier than Ellen DeGeneres?
Oh. Oh. That ain't right.
I love you, Ellen.
But it ain't right. Anyway, so here is Cena talking about the future. And, the new era. But the new era and the future run through him. Enter AJ Styles. So here you have one of those landmark moments in many respects. The longtime face of WWE and the longtime face of that other, what's it, T, TN, We
can't talk about it.
TNT Amusements. I'm not.
No. We can't talk about it. Edge and Christian said so. We can't talk about it.
Well, that would
but
be
you
stupid.
Know what I mean.
Yeah. The two faces of the two, quote unquote, biggest wrestling companies over the last decade in the same ring. And no, it has four sides, not six.
Now, Gene, I don't know if you saw it live, but I did. The reaction of the crowd was so organic and so real. It was one of those rare moments that you felt was not forced down anybody's throats. Do you agree with that?
Well, I don't know who this Gene Putz is, but...
I'm sorry, Shotgun. I apologize.
It's fine. Yeah, basically, I would say it was a pretty great pop, actually. You don't get a lot of those nowadays, mostly because some of the stuff is piped in. We're not supposed to talk about that.
Kevin Dunn has you on his shit list. Congratulations. But that's really nothing to be proud of, actually. Yeah. So Styles is going a little back and forth, and then here come two guys who come on out who have wrecked havoc throughout the night, including earlier in a tag match, Gallows and Anderson. Now, if you remember, backstory from a week ago, towards the end of Raw, before the main event, you go your way, we'll go ours. Well, apparently their ways converged because the assault on John Cena went down. Heel turn. I do my John Cena heel turn here. So, okay, Jason, your reaction to how this all came out, how it all came to be. You used the word organic. I think organic's a good word here to describe what happened.
Because here's the deal. Even in TNA, AJ Styles, when he was heel, or at least tried to be heel, Never worked at all. At least I don't think he ever was heel in TNA, or when it was, it didn't feel right. Okay.
In very this early.
Yes. But even so, in this particular case, you never saw it coming. You never saw it. And you thought you were going to have the two biggest faces, tag with each other, and it's going to be really cool. And then, boom, the club is back, and Cena Styles matches. Yes, thank you. Give us some more. Love it.
Actually,
Shotgun,
you're all going to think I'm full of shit for saying this.
Try us.
I actually called it as soon as AJ got in the ring.
Okay. I believe
you weren't the only one.
Just because it was like, okay, I've been watching WWE since I was a small child. I know all the tropes they're going to use. This angle isn't like, brand new and avant-garde. It's happened before. The difference is this felt a lot more organic. You know what I'm saying? Like Jason said. Like
it didn't feel forced. It didn't feel forced at all.
It made sense because of like, what else are you going to do with AJ now that he's not in the title hunt? It's like you got AJ Styles here for a reason. We're going to hear a lot of the number threes, or so Nikki puts it, on the message boards being like, oh, well, why does Styles have to face Cena? Or it's like, why can't Finn Balor be in the club? I'm like, it's like, first of all, don't try to shoehorn it. It's, oh, Balor would be so much better. It's like everybody in WWE has a plan for somebody.
Right. And the story of the club is just beginning, you see. In time, maybe Balor joins at SummerSlam or shortly after, or a little or later than that. Who knows?
And to be honest, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Shotgun.
No, to be honest, the Bullet Club is actually more known with Styles, Anderson, and Gallows than it was with Devitt, Anderson, and Gallows. Or Balor, whichever name.
Right.
Like, the Bullet Club that everybody is aware of now was was the Bullet Club with AJ Styles on top. You know, that was the big allure. That's why the three of them got signed at around the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and I would...
Go ahead, Shotgun, sorry.
I know I'm talking a lot and I'm kind of starting, but the last point I want to make about this is, like, when you think about it, it's actually a pretty great matchup because you have the dynasty of WWE, the dynasty that is John Cena, versus the dynasty of New Japan Pro Wrestling that is AJ Styles and the Bullet Club, or just the Club, because I don't know if Vince can get the rights to that name.
That and plus Ring of Honor is using the term as well, so...
Yeah, right, because they've got other people within the Bullet Club as well. But here's also something. Cena's role is different now, okay? Right. Cena's role is now one where Triple H is at the moment, okay?
More or less he's brand the guy ambassador. Who put,
yes, but remember now also, Cena's also the guy who is going to put other guys over. I mean, did he put Kevin Steen over? Yes, he did. It was Kevin Steen. Kevin Owens over in his first match? Boy, I'm shitty with names tonight. But he's going to put AJ Styles over eventually because he can. And he will, okay? Remember, Cena's best run actually as a wrestler was before he got hurt. Even though he didn't let anybody win the U.S. title, he put a lot of people over and made a lot of people.
His work rate was phenomenal. His work rate in that 6-7 month span was phenomenal, no pun intended. And you're right, Jason, that this is a litmus test for him to put AJ Styles over. I find it funny, though. The guy he's putting over is not much younger than him. You know, because they're, I think, within a few months of each other, and we're talking about the future. It's like, oh, the future is the present.
You see, he's almost 39 now.
Right.
Well, think about this. It's like AJ Styles is, like, fresher on TV than John Cena.
Oh, no question. No question about it. He's much fresher. Carl, you've followed AJ more than we have going back to his TNA days in the 2000s. Are you excited about this potential, say, Money in the Bank or summer series of matches between Styles / the Club and Cena?
Yeah, this will probably go back and forth. We'll probably get a big match at Slam. All for Jason to go look forward to watching. There you go.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Right in your backyard, Michael.
Right in my backyard, yeah. But here's the deal, as I said before. To me, this is one of those dream matches that everybody should be so thrilled about. And you should not poop on this. You can't really poop on this. Because you've got... The guys, and we're not talking Roman Reigns, and we're not talking, you know, the man Seth Rollins, which we'll get to in a second. But you've got the two biggest faces in the same ring, in the same company, at the same time. Enjoy the ride, folks.
Enjoy it. Shut up. Take my $9.99. That's all there is to it. And since you mentioned the man, let's talk about Seth Rollins, king of the tralalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalal Boo. Because Kevin Dunn didn't hit the mute switch. Way to go, Beaverface. Bucky Beaver, son of a... Anyway, so in comes Rollins, and you think, oh, Rollins is going to come in and say something. Rollins is going to come in and fight. Nope, he backs back up. He backs back up. He plays Troll the Lull because he's playing Jason Block and Shotgun and Carl. Jedi freaking mind games, and I love it.
Yes. Now, here's the very interesting part of the week. Now, as you all know, WWE 24 did a phenomenally very good documentary called Seth Rollins Redesign, Rebuild, Reclaim.
Mm-hmm. You had the chance to watch it, Jason.
I watched it tonight before the show because, you know, I did my homework. It is so good. if he wasn't the second biggest heel in the company, it would be awesome. But you want to know something? You have a new respect for what this guy did in 5 months, okay?
CrossFit From Jesus.
Yes, CrossFit Jesus, okay? He showed what the surgery was, and by the way, in graphic detail, by the way.
Yeah, you saw the knee get the hole drilled in. Oh.
Yes, exactly. And you saw a profile, you know, of his family, of him, you know, being an animal lover, you know, little Yorkie Terrier, I believe he is.
Doggy.
And, you know, how he likes to play video games, and how he likes, you know, he put in the work to get where he was. And if you're on the network, you got to check this out. It's really good.
The WWE 24 series, and they've done a few of these over the last 2 years, really good stuff in general.
And the thing is that they put it this way, it's ironic that they had the cameras going from moment one of his injury. They knew it was coming. Wow.
Well, they know that, you know, you're always on the clock when you're employed there. Yes. Everything's fodder for material. So
yes, and of course, I thought one of the coolest scenes. Speaking of AJ Styles, one of the coolest scenes of the documentary was showing him as a 19-year-old kid wrestling AJ Styles on the Independence.
Oh wow!
And there was a line that said, "This is the future of," and AJ said, "This is the future of wrestling," and he's 19. That's what he said, and AJ said, "And I was right." That's exactly what
he said.
Told you so. Yeah, told you so.
Let me go to Shotgun here, though, because something you said to lead up to that was very interesting to me. You said that the documentary, if it wasn't for the second best heel in the company, would have been great. Given the crowd reaction and how vehemently they are against Roman Reigns, right, wrong, or whatever, I ask you, Shotgun, is Rollins technically really the second best heel in the company right now?
I would actually still argue that he is.
Okay.
Just because he's able to turn the crowd against him as soon as he grabs a microphone. Just the things that he does in the ring. Rollins is an excellent heel. Whereas Roman Reigns' heat comes more from the fact that they don't like how he's presented, you know. It's much like Cena in 2006, except, and this is no knock to Roman Reigns because he improves every week, in my opinion.
Oh yeah.
It's because Roman is not quite the crowd worker that John Cena is. He can't make it work the way Cena does. You can clearly see that this is beginning to like really get to him. And, you know, I don't blame him. I don't hate Roman Reigns. I'm actually, as weird as it is for me to say it, because, you know, he's the top guy in the company right now. He's making a hell of a lot more money than I probably will ever see in my life. I actually feel bad just because he's getting all this undue heat, because it's like he's thrust, this position is like thrust upon him.
Yeah, as we like to say, he got the rocket booster pack sent right onto his back, and he's had varying degrees of success. In the ring, his stuff has been money. It's just he can't hold a microphone and talk to save his life, and he's also Smiley McSmileface.
And I don't think it's all him, honestly.
No, I agree. I mean, if you're given the lines that creative has given you involving tater tots and what have you, and what was the other big one that he used a few months back? I forget. You know, it's like creative is just having a field day saying, oh, this is the guy you want. We're going to dumb him down for you and see what you think about this guy. Creative, to some degree, I think, Jason, is setting Roman Reigns up, dare I say, to fail.
Yeah, but again, here's the way I think. I hate on Roman Reigns for a different reason. Okay. Has he improved? Yes. Is he a work rate machine? No. But to me, I just think that if he was a true heel, and, you know, you flip the script, make Roman Reigns the face, and, you know, Reigns the true heel, then you have, you know, then you have this sense of then he could be the character he want, you know, he can be. That's all I'm saying. But in this particular case, Seth Rollins and the documentary, again, by the way, you know, just goes to show you what a very good guy he is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the documentary was fantastic, face or heel. It's just that right now at this moment in time, he's a heel, but I don't see that staying for long.
We said it on this podcast X number of months back. When he comes back, he gets a hero's welcome. He gets to ride in on the white horse, wearing the white Power Ranger outfit, if you will. And he did. No question about it. The question then becomes, Shotgun, why is it that WWE is so gun-shy, no pun intended again, to make Roman stay as a face despite getting booed out of arenas left and right? Why are they so leery of not making the full turn?
Basically, Roman is in what I would like to refer to as the Diesel position. Because in the 90s, Diesel was like this big, huge guy who Vince had that wasn't on trial for certain substance abuse. So he's like, well, he's got boatloads of charisma. He's got a look. Great. Let's make him a champion. Unfortunately, for some reason or another, Diesel couldn't quite carry the company as well as Vince would like, and that's why he's the worst drawing WWE champion in history so far.
That seems like an apt comparison. Continue.
So when it comes to Roman Reigns, listen, I'm gonna nip this in the fucking bud right now. I don't think anybody in Roman Reigns' position would have just said no to Vince telling him, well, we want to make you the face of the company and we want to make you WWE champion. Nobody's going to look at Vince and say, no, I'm not ready. No. Roman Reigns got a fucking opportunity and he took it. And that's what he should have done. Now, is he facing a lot of trouble along the way? Sure. But, you know, it's all about trial and error, honestly.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you in that regard. It's trial and error, and they have to build new stars. Again, the one thing that keeps reverberating in the back of my mind is, if they had pushed him in right after his first Royal Rumble, as opposed to when they crowned his ass, for lack of better terms, a year later in Philly as being the guy, or setting him up to be the guy, would things be different? I'm inclined to believe no, because his promo skill set would not have changed. I think he'd be progressing the same rate that he is now. Are the fans to blame for wanting more? Is creative to blame? Is it A plus B, Jason?
Well, again, when we were talking WrestleMania 30, if I'm correct on this, mm-hmm. when Reigns should have beaten Batista, and we've referred to this before,
mm-hmm.
you know, Reigns beating Batista because Batista came in and wanted to be in the championship role, okay? But if you remember, Daniel Bryan, you know, the fans wanted Daniel Bryan. They didn't want Batista in the role, mm-hmm. okay? Then you had the WrestleMania 31 where it was a different idea. They still wanted Daniel Bryan. And they couldn't get him because I believe he was still hurt at the time. I think. I don't remember if Daniel Bryan had a shot at that point. No. He won the Intercontinental. He was in the Intercontinental title because he had just come back from the first concussion, mm-hmm. if you remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So, and they won the Intercontinental belt there. But in this particular case, I just think that Roman Reigns was a year too late. But again, we'll see where it continues goes, and we'll see where Seth Rollins goes. And if they make the switch before
Before SummerSlam?
Yeah, before SummerSlam. Excuse me. Yes. Or you know, because I forget what the July pay-per-view is. It's not Money in the Bank. I know that much.
Right. It's $9.99 down the drain is what it is.
Yes, exactly. Because yeah. I know there's one pay-per-view before.
Not the Bash. I always want to keep saying the Bash, but I know it's not.
We could check it out.
Right.
But interesting. There are lots of things perking with, you know, Money in the Bank and potentially what's going on there. You've got.
Yeah, let's
Cena
talk about
Styles.
The card right now progressing.
You got Cena Styles.
Mm-hmm.
You have Reigns Rollins, which they announced last week. You've got the six Money in the Bank, rumored to be seven, and the six guys are, for those who don't remember, and we had a six-man tag of this. You had Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens, Cesaro, The Miz, who, by the way, The Miz is not in it, I don't think. No, you know, he's got the Intercontinental title because he's now filming the Marine 5. Which was a pretty, pretty funny thing.
Oh, it was, okay. To quote King Ross, who we, or to paraphrase King Ross, who we stole from What Culture for the Open this week, John O'Clock for the win, Marine 5, bloody hell.
You yes. mean
somebody actually sat back and watched the first four and said, let's make a fifth one of these?
They're making it. So you've got, I'm sorry, it's Del Rio, Owens, Jericho versus Ambrose, Zayn, and Cesaro. And again, you look at who they have. You have Jericho, Ambrose, and three of the four people for Money in the Bank. Yeah, I mean, for the Intercontinental title. Not bad.
Pretty good.
Works for me.
Yeah.
And then of course, you have New Day versus the Vaudevillains versus the Bolt versus the Club, potentially, for the tag titles. And then you've got Charlotte versus... Charlotte and Becky Lynch probably for the title at Money in the Bank. And of course, Sasha's still hurt, isn't she?
Well, she actually was cleared from her concussion late last week and has been working some house shows. And I think she had an announcement on Main Event this past week to pretty much say, hey, remember me?
Yeah.
Bring it.
Right. And then. And of course, Dolph Ziggler is still around doing his thing.
Corbin's personal anyway.
Yes, and then you're gonna have Sheamus. Oh no, not this week.
Oh, that's right.
Not this week, because he challenged Baron Corbin to a technical match and kicked him in the nuts. That's great.
That is a technical knockout, is what that is.
Yes, it was. But I think we're also gonna see Apollo Crews and Sheamus. There as well.
To talk about somebody whose star is quickly fading in Apollo Crews.
Someone who's also on the rise, Titus O'Neil. Check that out.
Who?
He's in the U.S. title picture? Question mark?
Looks like it. The card is starting to shape up, and it's not a bad card at all, don't you think, Shotgun?
Sorry, I was dealing with
Undertale. That's okay. Yeah, the Money in the Bank card as it's kind of looking right now, 2 weeks out.
It's actually looking kind of interesting. I'll definitely want to check it out, especially for the ladder match.
Oh, I mean, the Money in the Bank match is always a great match.
Now, here's the question, though.
Yeah.
Who gets the case?
It comes down to two or three guys.
No, it's Owens.
Yeah.
That's the name I'm thinking, yeah, because he, again, in some of his promos as of late, both on TV and on the website, it's like he's ready to be pushed to the moon and be Cartman, the big, fat, pissed-off heavyweight champion of the world, which would be a beautiful thing because he's so good at being a dick.
This, I think, is going to be Owens' year because there's... Other than Rollins, there's no bigger heel in the company right now than Owens.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that whatsoever. I'm with you. And if anybody deserves it, he's a guy who deserves it. Go ahead, Jason.
I was about to say, and even though not winning the U.S. title, I don't think since coming up from NXT, I don't think Owens has made one mistake.
Agreed.
I really don't think so.
He has been money. He has been absolute money, and what better way to reward him for that than to give him the case anytime? And you know he's not going to cash in immediately. He may wait until the 11th hour and 59th minute. He may spring a surprise on us. So, and plus, he's the master psychologist of those in the heel department in WWE. He plays mind games as good as anybody, so who better to give the case to?
Yep.
Let's talk about something that may be classified in the Is This Anything category. When I say hashtag Hatch, what do you think of? And Jason, don't say Richard Hatch, please.
I was thinking the gobbledygooker myself. No.
Would. Well, okay, so we had the big announcement on Raw. If you pre-order, this is a Pixel Nation crossover, ladies and gentlemen, if you pre-order WWE 2K17, you get the chance to have a certain jackhammering bald guy that Ryback wishes he could be in your game, in your arsenal of the roster, and that man's name is Bill Goldberg.
For the first time since Here Comes the Pain.
Oh, look at you. Very good. Yes.
Very good. Also, yes.
And also, the only time he was in a WWE game was Here Comes the Pain.
That's right, because of his short run, which he was completely misbooked from Jump Street. This is the third time a person who is currently not on the roster has been in the game before being back in the fold, potentially. You had the Ultimate Warrior a couple of years ago. You had Sting pretty recently. Goldberg. Could this be a chance for him to come back in a Legends contract kind of capacity, Jason Block? And let me ask a second question as a follow-up. Would it be worth the ease while to do that?
Okay. First of all, number one, did you actually see the did you actually pay attention to the commercial?
Well, yes, and I was going to lead into that.
Oh, okay. Well, yes and yes. Because Goldberg, for the short time he was with WCW, he was an incredibly magnetic personality, okay? Was his work rate the best? No, not at all, okay? But Shotgun...
He captivated the audience.
Yeah, Shotgun, he was Diesel to a degree, you know? But when Bischoff and Russo made him a star because of that whole march, the whole package. He had it. And to have it one more time, I think it'd be worth it for one match. Why not?
Shotgun, you want to weigh in?
Honestly, if I was Bill Goldberg at this stage of the game, I'd just be happy with a Shawn Michaels deal. Just because it's like Goldberg's got to be in his 50s, right?
I was literally on my phone just checking to see how old
he is. Mid to late 40s, I would think, at least.
He's 49.
Okay, 49.
He will be 50 in December. Okay.
So he's on the cusp of his 50s.
Right.
Yes.
Based on his interviews and everything, I think Goldberg is happy enough being away from the wrestling business. I don't think he needs to get in the ring. If he wants to get in the ring, that's a whole other story. But, you know, if I was him and I didn't want to go back into wrestling, I'd just be happy with a Shawn Michaels deal.
And there's a lot of, dare I say, in the internet wrestling community, butthurt over the last time we saw Goldberg and...
I was there live for that. Oh, man.
Santa Maria, Goldberg, and a certain person who had a kind of cameo in the commercial via the word suplex and city, meaning Mr. Lesnar, Brock. I mean, is this... I'll ask the question, Shotgun. The Suplex City cameo, Goldberg looking at, you know, with the reflection of the Suplex City sign, as Goldberg on camera, in that commercial, Is this anything?
Could be. But, you know, they were also hyping up Austin versus Punk for WWE 13, so it was like,
true.
You know, hedge your bets there.
Jason, you agree?
Yeah. Is it anything? It could be something.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. But, again, would Brock and Goldberg give us the match we really wanted 11 years ago, 12 now. Actually, it'll be 13. My apologies. 13 years later, when, you know, Lesnar is close to 40 now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to check to see.
Yeah, how I'll be honest. I don't want to see those two in the ring against each other. I don't. Because A, bad memories. B, these guys can't give you what they could have given you 13 years ago.
Because Lesnar's 38. He'd be 39 by the time, you know what I mean? It would be a 50-year-old against a 40-year-old, two part-timers. I don't know. Would it make money? Yeah. Would it be a good match? I don't think so.
It would make money. No question it would make money to some degree. But it spits completely in the face of everything that this whole new era thing is trying to promote. New era, new era, new era. Here are two guys from 13, 14, 15 years ago kicking butt, taking names just for a paycheck. That's the drawback I see. So, hey, never say never, though. Remember, we thought we'd never see Bruno Sammartino in the Hall of Fame. We thought we'd never see Goldberg associated with WWE again, and those two things have happened, so.
Well, again, remember, he technically isn't in the fold because, well, remember, the 2K Sports is a separate entity.
Yes, but okay. The WWE license involved, there had to have been some transaction for the likeness, for goodness sake. So,
they made it. Of course, I don't disagree. Heck, I believe, didn't Goldberg do an interview with WWE this week?
I'm not sure. I haven't checked on that.
I believe he did. So, you know, but again, it's very interesting to see him back in the fold. I think, is he pretty much the last guy to be in the WWE video game this year? I mean, he's one of the bigger last guys left.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah, I'd say so. Among those who, you know, modern video game / wrestling fans would want in their game. Yeah, I would agree.
Okay.
Here's hoping they don't put in Goldberg with a blonde wig. That's all I'm asking.
I believe our good friend Brian Henniger said that there are two arenas that are going to be involved with this as well. I believe, what is it, the Halloween Havoc Arena?
Are they bringing the Nitro one back, I think?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
For the greatest arena in the history of our sport. But
Yes, and I believe the game comes out in late October, so.
More on that on Pixel Nation with Brian Henniger and Jason Block.
Yes, there you go. We will be talking about it, so, yeah.
I want to get to something that is very polarizing. And one of the reasons we have Shotgun on this week is this very topic we're going to get to right now. Jason and I and Shotgun have seen the match that has pretty much split the internet wrestling community right down the middle, in the words of Bill Alfonso. It's a New Japan Pro Wrestling match from just this past week between Ospreay and Ricochet. It is about a 20-minute match, 22-minute video. It's free to see on YouTube. And one might call this a spot fest. One might call it Flippy Doo Mania. One might call it choreographed to the T, to the nines. You can't deny the athleticism involved, no matter what side of the page you fall on. But you have seemingly half the crowd saying it's a 5-star match, and the other half saying, F you, this is Spot City, this isn't even wrestling. Our buddy who we had on the show, Brian Zane from Wrestling with Red, posted a video about this earlier on this record date of June 2nd. And it really gets down to brass tacks of what really is wrestling in 2016. Before we even get to that question, I am going to see the Florida Shotgun with the following disclaimer. The views expressed by Shotgun are not necessarily those of Spectrum One. It's lack of affiliates, lack of sponsors, da 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 da. Spectrum One cares. your thoughts on the match, Shotgun, in 3, 2, bang.
Okay.
Go.
I'm going to try to keep as calm as humanly possible. And I'm probably going to fail miserably at it.
Go for it, yep.
Okay. Now, anyone who enjoys this match, that's fine. You know, that's their prerogative. I am never going to deny any one person the right to pursue any kind of entertainment they want. Okay? And I agree that pro wrestling is an art form, and that art is largely subjective. That being said, the basic goal of professional wrestling, as I understand it, is to engage the crowd and make them care about the two people in the ring and what's going on in the ring. Make them care about who wins and who loses. Am I wrong in this?
I believe that.
Okay. And largely in 2016, kayfabe is dead. Let's just put it out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, nowadays you have these geeks on the internet saying, "Oh, I just want to see a 5-star match," you know, and I know all the insider terms and blah blah blah. Yeah, whatever. Okay. Now it's a difficult question to answer. It's like the whole what is wrestling in 2016, but I'll tell you what it's not, and this is my opinion, so you know, take it for what you will. It's not two guys flipping around in the ring for 20 minutes selling absolutely fucking nothing and being less concerned with looking like you want to win and more concerned with getting their shit in within the time allotted. That wasn't a pro wrestling match, as I see it. That was a Michael Bay movie. That was if Michael Bay directed a pro wrestling match. It was an all-out assault on the senses, start to finish. No time to soak anything in. No time to care about either of these two guys. Just Two guys going in there thinking they can wow the crowd with, like, flash and explosions. And the problem with that is, yeah, the crowd will like the moves, but I guarantee you, they probably won't give a shit about either of the two guys actually doing it. And and I also guarantee that as soon as the next 5-star match is rolling down the pike, everyone is going to forget about this match.
Does it come down to the fact that they made the moves the stars rather than themselves the stars?
Exactly. And you know what? There is a way to be acrobatic and high-flying and all that shit and still make it mean something. Case in point. Guys like Rey Mysterio, Chris Jericho, Shawn Michaels, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, Bryan Danielson, or if you want to get more recent, AJ Styles. Yeah, they do some incredible things in the ring. You know what else they do? They make you care about them. They know how to get over with people so that by the time they're finished, they're not going to think, wow, that was just an exciting match between two people. No, they're going to think, wow, AJ Styles is so incredible, or Shawn Michaels is so incredible. I want to pay to see them again. You know? And when you sacrifice two basic tenets of pro wrestling, that being psychology and logic, you're not reinventing the wheel. You're not bringing some avant-garde fucking style to wrestling. You're just two spot monkeys.
Ooh.
That's it. It's the difference between being a Rey Mysterio
and a Teddy Hart.
And if I may add on for a second, we talked about the fact now I watched the match, and the thing is, you see a lot of these quote unquote spot fests in Ring of Honor. However, the difference is in that particular case, you have characters you care about who are executing the moves like this. With these two guys, you had one English cursing dude versus another guy who were just, it felt like, okay, here's page one, page two, page three, page four. We all know that wrestling is predetermined. It felt like they were going, reading the pages of the script. You could see what's like, okay, set up move here, set up move here. It didn't feel like anything.
Matthew in the Botchamania series always does that bit, shut up. The shut up bit where people are talking too loud during a match. I am going to give the two men in the ring a minor benefit of the doubt, because I don't know if you watch this closely enough. In addition to whatever mic was underneath the ring, there was a freaking boom mic poking in from the side of the ring over the course of the match. So, you know, it picks up everything. And I think that's kind of stupid, my humble opinion. But that being said, they weren't trying to be discreet about it. And that's a problem. Yet the fans ate it up to a point. I enjoyed it for what it was. It's not a 5-star match. No, it's not. I appreciated the athleticism, and some of the spots were indeed insane. They weren't also exactly, there were also some spots, the first over the top rope spot, that could have been Botchamania material right there. You know, there's something to be said for, in the course of a match, telling a story. And they didn't tell a story, they just were like two kids in the backyard having fun. And that's where I kind of see where you guys are going with it, though I won't completely crap on it.
I'm not completely crapping on it, I'm just saying that it's not the definition of this. Okay. And I will give the antithesis example of this.
Okay.
At least in my personal opinion. This year, okay? Nakamura Zayn from NXT TakeOver Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? These were two guys that, yes, they were doing spots. However, you cared about both of these people as individuals. Zayn being the underdog and Nakamura being the new guy. Okay? Shotgun, you understand the difference there, correct?
Absolutely. The difference between Nakamura and Zayn and these two motherfuckers comes in the fact that Nakamura and Zayn were using psychology. Like, you saw that there was a story to this match. Like, yeah, they started off, you know, friendly competition. But then you started to see Sami Zayn getting more and more frustrated because he couldn't put this guy down. And you saw Nakamura reveal his natural charisma. So you have these two compelling guys in the ring, and you care. Like, you love this match, but you care about who wins. You know, because you can see that both of them care.
You get emotionally invested because they're emotionally invested.
Exactly. You can tell when they're in the ring that to the crowd at large, they care about winning this match. It's not for a title. It's not this blood feud. They just want to win, you know? And that's the difference between Nakamura and Zayn and what these two jackasses did.
I'll raise the obvious question. Is there something lost in translation across the Pacific? Okay.
I don't think so. I just think that these two guys choreographed a spot fest. That's what it was. That's what they did.
So Okay, so the bigger question that I sort of started this segment of the podcast out with, what really is wrestling? If you can define it within certain parameters, because Zane himself in the Wrestling with Regret video he did said there is no one answer, and I agree with that. There is no one answer. There are many definitions of what wrestling is in 2016. Yes, comedy bits. Comedic wrestling, Dick Kick City, Super Kick City, what have you. By the way, not a fan of the Super Kick City and Ring of Honor with the Bullet Club. I think it's, worn out its welcome. One man's opinion, I'll get super kicked for it. You've got technical wrestling. You've got hardcore wrestling. You've got aerial high flying. You know, there is no one standard definition of what it is, but maybe the better question is, what isn't wrestling?
Well,
I don't know.
This is the last thing I'm going to say because my phone is going to die soon, so there's no telling when I'm going to cut off.
Okay.
But I do want to say this. To me, wrestling is the most physical form of art that you can possibly have. Wrestling, through your bodies, you're telling a story in the ring and you're trying to catch people's emotions. You know, you're trying to get them emotionally invested in you. And so here's the thing. This match will probably be remembered for a few weeks. It's going to be like, oh, well, it's a 5-star match and da-da-da-da-da. But there's a difference between that and, say, if I want to use another so-called 5-star match, CM Punk versus John Cena at Money in the Bank 2011.
Yeah. There's miles difference.
Oh, my God, yes.
Because it's, like you say, psychology. It's, somebody doesn't stay down for 10 seconds, pop back up with their power up.
Exactly. And you know what? I'll use another worker that understood crowd psychology. And it might be an unpopular name, but I'm going to say it anyway. Hulk Hogan. You can say whatever you want about Hulk Hogan and his work rate. Da, 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 da. Hogan is the single greatest crowd worker in the history of wrestling. And I defy anyone to tell me otherwise.
No, but tough to argue. I'll grant you that. Very tough to argue.
Because, you know what? Screw Punk and Cena. Everybody, you know what everybody remembers? WrestleMania 3, Hogan versus Andre. All they did was a body slam and a leg drop, which in 2016 is equivalent to just farting in the ring at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing special. But the way they built up to that and the moment and what you felt when it happened, the body slam, the leg drop, as Hogan beat this unstoppable giant, it's like everybody remembers that. And everybody remembers Hogan and Andre.
Mm-hmm.
Because they made, through how great they were, they made you feel, they made you remember them, you know?
Yeah.
They grabbed at your heartstrings. And whatever Hogan did later, he was so great at capturing people. And that is, I think, what wrestling is. It's capturing people's attention by telling a story in the ring with your bodies.
I think that's a good place to leave it, quite frankly. Since you're going to end up cutting out here in any second, we'll let you go on your own free will, but not before. If you want to get a plug-in for anything, Shotgun, go ahead and do so right now.
Okay. Well, if you want to follow me on Twitter, follow me at Shotgun718. And that's coincidentally also the handle for my Instagram.
Shotgun718.
So, yeah, definitely check that out. I'll be posting a lot of videos. I'll be posting a lot of funny stuff on the Twitter and the Instagram if you're into that. Definitely check out the World of Unpredictable Wrestling here in Brooklyn. We'll be running a couple of shows this summer, so definitely be on the lookout for that. And yeah, that's about it. Oh, also, buy Bullet Bourbon if you're into whiskey, because that's actually pretty damn good.
There you go. Please keep us posted on those shows. We'd love to, you know, hype them up on our podcast as they come closer. So thanks again, Shot.
No problem.
All right, we'll talk with you, buddy. Thanks.
Later.
Shotgun from Brooklyn joining us here on the NAWC. Glad we could have him on to talk about that matchup specifically. You want to add anything to it, Jason, what he said?
No, I'll leave it at that because I want to switch to something pretty sad, actually.
You're talking legalese here, right?
Yeah, because I think that's pretty much the last big topic I think we want to cover. No,
the last major thing, and it involves the competence questioning of whether Jimmy Snuka can stand trial.
Well, yeah. I've
been all show for this one. Here we go.
Go for it.
What'd you say?
So I've been waiting for all show for Jason's thoughts on this. Here we go.
Yeah, well, this was happened yesterday, okay? Jimmy Snuka was charged recently in the 1983 death of his then-girlfriend, Nancy Argentino, in Allentown, Pennsylvania. It was ruled on Wednesday. Wednesday the 1st, okay? That he was ruled mentally incompetent to stand trial, and he was charged with third-degree murder and voluntary manslaughter, okay? The judge, Kelly Banach, it was a fourth hearing into his mental competency, okay? And she sided with claims that Snuka was suffering from dementia and that he would not be able to assist his own defense, okay? And when the prosecution decided to object, he said, with all due respect, she did not believe he was smart enough to pull it off. The prosecution asked Snuka to be taken into medical custody for a 60-day mental health evaluation, which was denied. Snuka would be allowed to travel to Florida to stay with relatives. So here's the timeline, all right? On May 18th, forensic psychologist Dr. Frank DiTilio, brought in by defense, testified that, in his opinion, Snuka was not fit to stand trial. He'd been treating Snuka for years and noted Snuka had been prescribed medical marijuana to assist him. They said that his Snuka's brain has been shrinking to the effects of head trauma and dementia, and he gets worse by the month, and the emotional turmoil of a trial could cause terrible harm. And he testified about Snuka's medical reports, including scans of his brain back to 2009, and noted that his wife has to help him remember details when Snuka does interviews. And that Snuka routinely confused him with his attorney and vice versa. In today's rule, in the June 1st ruling, the judge noted that after her conversations with Snuka, she agreed to Totillo and that any attorney that put Snuka on the stand in his own defense could come under allegations that they weren't being effective and that Snuka could be easily led on the stand. His wife, Carol, testified that he wasn't aware of why he was in court the day he was indicted on charges last year, and afterward was happy that he was being recognized and signing autographs. She also testified that he uses photographs and other items to continually remind Snuka of his memories, and that the family had taken his driver's license away after he began problems traveling to bookings. She also testified that Snuka was still taking bookings because of money issues, that he still takes multiple medications, he still loves wrestling. There's a gag order on the case remaining in place, there's going to be a new hearing December 2nd where they'll revisit the issue of Snuka's competency if anything has changed. And unless the prosecution opts to drop the charges, this may be the beginning of the pattern where every few months the court checks on him to see if his mental state has improved to the point where he can stand trial. Then they go into what happened 30 years ago. So, oh my goodness.
Here's the bottom line. You're never going to get closure on this case. You're never going to. I don't see it happening because, A, the man is still putting himself out there wrestling, doing the headbutts, conceivably, doing more damage to his body to help his cause, sad to say. And dare I say it, he may meet his maker before we ever get to a proper trial.
Or the question is, though, does he get away with murder on this thing? Because... you know,
well, you know what? By the letter of what I'm saying, sadly, quite possibly. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, this is something that, again, should have been hammered out and known years ago and was hidden so well for so long. It's just sad on so many levels. And I don't say any of them on Snuka's behalf, because the family of the person who was killed will never get closure.
No, they won't. Not yet. And the question is...
Yes. I don't think, yeah.
But the question is that, to me, it's like this. First of all, we're never going to see Snuka on a WWE TV again, live. Right. No way.
But let's go next level with that, and I think this is where you're going, Jason. Do they give him the Benoit treatment and whitewash him?
Not yet, because he's charged, not convicted.
Mm-hmm. But remember,
Hogan was whitewashed just because a tape was released.
True. You know what? There's an easy test to see how it's going right now. If you go to the network and you search Jimmy Snuka, see what comes up.
Well, I don't know if anyone can. Carl, can you do that right now?
I could. Let's see.
On the iPad or something? Or just as a test. Mm-hmm. Just to see if any of his matches come up. If it comes up. Sorry to put you to work, boss.
But it's just fucking quaint, yeah.
You just had to ruin the series. No, I'm kidding.
Matches come up.
Okay.
Four pages worth.
Now, just by comparison, Google Chris Benoit. Just for the sake of comparison. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you're not Googling it. You're doing it in the network.
Well, okay, network search.
Incorrect, sir.
Nothing.
Even though, if you search the pay-per-views, his matches are on there with the disclaimer, you know, on both sides of it, I guess.
Right.
So, you know, Snuka stands to go that route because, remember, if WWE wasn't a publicly traded company, they wouldn't have done what they did to Benoit.
I tell you what, even though Hogan got blacklisted from the Hall of Fame, you search for him, he still pops up in the network results.
Oh, of course, because now he's on top, baby. Now he's making millions of dollars. Well, stands
that you'll never see.
Yeah, thanks to getting a little.
He might. But
at the very least, he's taking down Gawker. So yes,
Gawker is going to have to get a whole bunch of loans and file for bankruptcy before they can even get that kind of money to pay him.
Chap 11. Speaking of the WWE.
Chapter 7. I don't know, Jim.
Chapter something, yes. Chapter 7 and 11. I don't know. Let's also talk about, speaking of the network, since you all loved it so much, said nobody ever, there's a new Scooby-Doo movie in the works with WWE.
Actually, it sold well. It did sell well.
Yeah, people did. Yes, continue.
Yeah, and it's called Scooby-Doo and WWE Curse of the Speed Demon. Now, it has appearances and voice work by, The Undertaker, mm-hmm. Triple H, Vince, Steph, Rusev, Los Matadores, The Miz.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Continue.
Oh, by the way, to the point where I believe that Shining Stars of the Caribbean may be done. There were rumors that's done already.
Because it's already not going. It's going over like a wet one in church.
Yes, exactly. The Miz, Lana, Goldust, Stardust, Sheamus. Oh, Stardust. Whoops. Sheamus, El Torito, and Dusty Rhodes. Okay.
Might be more problematic than you might think.
Yeah, exactly. And it's going to be released on DVD in August. So,
well, they can't really get rid of Stardust now, can they?
Yes, and there is a trailer for it if you want to check it out on YouTube and all that good stuff.
No, thank
Speaking
you.
Of Stardust and Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, he's got taking bookings, and he's going to, shall we say, evolve on the independent circuit.
Well, first of all, he's also wrestling Kurt Angle.
Oh, it's true.
It's in, where is it here? Just give me a second, because I saw that. It's pretty big. I believe it's Northeastern Wrestling. I believe it is, yeah, so he's doing that, and I believe in August he goes to Evolve. So that is pretty. That's pretty insane.
At least it ain't for that whatever promotion it was called, the combination MMA and all.
Oh yeah.
Fire or whatever it was.
The one-off JR did, you mean? Oh
yeah.
Don't get me started. That's Golden Award.
And if you have Netflix, I have an interesting thing. Who was a fan here of the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling?
Is it wrong of me to say I was too young to appreciate it?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay.
But no, truly I was, because it was late 80s, early 90s, right. Their heyday. I saw Women of Wrestling, the reboot, which was god-awful.
Right, so get this. Netflix has ordered a 10-episode first season for GLOW, a new series based on the 1980s women professional wrestling outfit Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. The series is created by Liz Flahive from Homeland and Carly Mensch, Orange is the New Black, so there's some big names involved, okay? And it was inspired by the 2012 documentary on GLOW that was released. And it tells a story set in the 80s of an actress who uses the promotion as her last-ditch effort to become a star, okay? And
which isn't unlike what GLOW was really built around.
Right. And the show was executive produced by Orange of the New Black creator and executive producer Genji Kohan and co-executive producer Tara Herman. And no casting or shooting, but
it's in the works.
Yeah, but it's in the works.
And to my knowledge, David McClane has nothing to do with this because years ago he gave up the name, and they actually did keep GLOW running in Vegas, I think, in the 2000s under somebody else's steadfastness, if you will. So we've got that as a positive because whatever David McClane touches turns to poop.
But seriously, though, you could have a resurgence in GLOW if that does well, and I think it might because Netflix right now is a spot where you can produce original programming and it'll do well, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, you've got a ton of stuff. Excuse me.
Chelsea Handler with her own thing, Fuller House, so on and so forth.
House of Cards, Fuller House, Arrested Development.
Things that the networks, broadcasting cable, pass on go to Netflix.
House of Cards with Kevin Spacey. Yes. As I said, the Marvel series, Jessica Jones, Daredevil. A bunch of original stuff on Netflix, and now you've got this. So I think this is going to be it's going to be very interesting to watch when that comes out, probably next year.
Situation comedy,
Jesus,
interesting. I mean, I think that's the only way they can take it. They can't take it serious because you can't.
Because GLOW was a situation comedy, you know.
Well, exactly. You had you want to be actresses, and let's not mince meat.
Yeah, for those us game show people back in the early 90s, there's a connection, of course.
Oh, yeah, they were on Family
Which I'll TV. Plug once we get to plugs.
Yes, yeah. We'll get to that in a minute. But, and one other thing, and we have to, you know, contractual obligation about TNA.
Is this going to be about the most mind-numbingly stupid 5 minutes you wasted earlier today?
Yeah. Okay. Now, here's the deal.
Yeah, but you set this up because this is literally something that comes out of the half-baked mind of Jeff Hardy, probably.
Yes, probably. Or Matt or whatever. So what happens is they have this contract signing video vignette, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens is Matt Hardy is this insane megalomaniac sort of – he's playing this whack job right now. Right. And he says – we're not going to sign it in a ring. We're going to sign it where it all began, right? So, what is it? Rebe Sky, is that her name? Rebe Sky?
His wife.
And the son and his wife and his son supposedly leave. And then what happens is that Jeff comes in and Matt says, I'm not signing it here. We're going to sign it there. And there's all this high-quality production drone shots. And they go into where they built this huge shed with a wrestling ring. And then Rebe comes back and tosses Maxwell, which turns out to be a doll, which is a distraction, so that Matt Hardy can hit the side effect, break through a table, and then sign the contract. It was effed up. It was really effed up.
Hey, R.D. Reynolds, if you're listening, put down crap.
Yes, that's crap, comma, wrestle. I mean, look, it's the equivalent of lipstick on a pig and polishing a turd. The production value was very, very high. I give him props. I also wonder if Dixie actually got the FAA approval to fly the drones. That's neither here nor there, perhaps. But it was like a bad hallucination to me. That, you know, and I saw the 2-minute version, not the director's cut, but the 2-minute version was bad enough, and just then plus going through they couldn't find a rectangular table, they had to do a circular table. Just saying.
Right, and the thing
that looked like it hurt actually a little bit.
And it's a Full Metal Mayhem match, so, and it's
makes you forget they still do at least 2 pay-per-views a year.
Yes, and this is one of them. Bound for Glory is the other, right?
Yeah, Slammiversary.
Yeah, June, I mean,
which is a week from this Sunday, actually. Oh, but let's actually end on a high note, shall we?
Oh, because there is a big card coming up between now and when next we convene here.
Yes,
you've got the matches for NXT's next Takeover event.
Right, and this is called Takeover the End. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing the end means not of NXT, but of the rivalry between Samoa Joe and Finn Balor.
Yes.
Or as Bailey calls him, Mamo-chan. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to have Ty Dillinger against Andrade Cien Almas, Austin Aries versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yes, please.
Asuka versus Nia Jax. Mm-hmm. American Alpha were versus The Revival in a rematch of their awesome match at TakeOver Dallas, by the way.
Yes.
And to end it all and be it all, Samoa Joe and Finn Balor in the first ever NXT steel cage match. And I love the fact that they're billing it that way and making it important.
Exactly, because yes, we've seen steel cage matches all over the place. I'm going to say they're not commonplace anymore because you don't see a good steel cage match too often. This is going to be a good steel cage match. So that's coming up, what, Wednesday or Tuesday?
Wednesday night, 8 o'clock on, I believe it's 8 o'clock on the network,
mm-hmm.
$9.99. Watch it because my guess is you might be the last time Finn is on NXT, maybe?
Possibly.
I hope.
Maybe.
Possibly, but, you know.
We'll see.
But we will see, because, like I said, things are definitely moving around, and
there are definitely cogs that are in place and some that are to be placed in terms of what's going on as we get closer and closer, not just to Money in the Bank, but to the draft and brand split coming up in about five, six weeks,
and the whole, is this a brand split? Is this a precursor of things? You know, where are we going?
What direction does the E go in? And that's
the brand split E. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be worth watching and we're going to follow it intently here. And Carl said this early on when I introduced him, this is the final show in the 9th season of the North American Wrestling Connection. The next time you hear us 1 week from now, hopefully Nikki will be hosting as she usually does. It will be the start of, I can't believe we made it to this, the 10th season of the North American Wrestling Connection here on what's now Spectrum 1. You know, it's hard to believe, and I've been a part of it for, what, seven years, I guess, give or take?
Yeah, I've been in for about 7 or 8 myself, I think. And
2009 each, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, 7 East years.
First.
Yeah. I mean, just doing the voiceover stuff and the hokey opens and now on occasion sub-hosting and co-hosting and taking over and pissing Nikki off.
I mean, it's amazing we've survived, you know, survived all this. But again, and if I may steal a line from Nikki here, we try to be positive here.
Mm-hmm.
We are not one of those podcasts that yells and says, he sucks, and we don't give a reason why. And
we if we say something sucks, we back it up and we try to, if possible, remedy the situation. And we call it as we see it. I mean, we're not, you know, the power of positivity all the time, but we try to keep an even keel and we try to look at things with the glass half full as opposed to half empty. And that's something I think we pride ourselves on. We try not to take the number three role all that often. But if the internet wrestling community goes and explodes, we are there to cover it. And we have a lot of plans going for the 10th season, I'm sure, Carl. We're going to try to get some more guests in here. Maybe even, and I know you've been testing this out over the last week or two with other podcasts, maybe going back to some YouTube live streaming for events.
Yeah, I did it on my personal channel, which I merged and kind of took my old account and merged it to what's linked to Google Plus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I figured like we would live stream at least the big specials like the Mania, Live Cap,
Summerfest, perhaps.
And for SummerSlam, yeah, the big four.
The big four, yeah. Although, you know, you can make a case this would be number five in some respects because this card looks like a good one for Money in the Bank.
And not just for this show, but for others like the BS, like the big Super Bowl special that we do every year.
Right. And other podcasts, which we will talk about momentarily.
Yeah, I was going to do it tonight, but I didn't feel like firing it up. I'm too tired.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Before we get to plugs proper, I'm going to steal the time for about 45, 60 seconds because a person who's been a friend of mine since high school, who I've referenced plenty of times on the show, Justin Henry, he's involved in something cool. He writes for a number of entities, including Fighting Spirit Magazine and With What Culture. Everything comes tied together in a bow. Well, he is a co-author of a book called Titan Screwed, talking about stories from 1997 through early to mid-1998 about when the Attitude Era was just getting started. It's available on whatculture.com. I think it's shop.whatculture.com. Pick it up. And I especially appreciate at least throwing a hand, and we'll put a link up on our page about it as well, if you don't mind, Carl. Because Justin reached out to me and even said to me, Jim, you probably don't know this, but I gave you an acknowledgement in the book. I'm like, what? Why the hell would you do that? You're one of my best friends, and you supported me since high school, so it's the least I can do for you. And that meant the world to me. So,
Do me a favor, remind me because I'll forget.
If you are Kindle Unlimited, you can read it for free.
Right.
But it comes out on June 6th for your Kindle. It's $8.99 for your Kindle.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Might do another one of those linkage on the site.
Yes.
Help us out, Smurf.
And it's the third in the series.
Yeah, and there are a number of notables from that era who were interviewed and quoted in the book. And Justin,
Ken Shamrock, Ron Van Dam, Jim Cornette, Del Wilkes, The Patriot, Dr. Prom Pritchard, Danny Doring, Todd Gordon, and more.
Yeah. So you've got names from ECW and WWE and technically WCW as well involved in it. So so check it out, won't you please, and tell them that you heard about it from Jim and the NAWC and Spectrum One crews. Speaking of Spectrum One, we just recorded the latest installment of WLTI. It'll be the
another season ender.
Yeah, because we're going to take a week off because somebody, hi Chico, is cruising. Lucky bastard.
yes.
He
adulted for 3 weeks straight. He deserves to go on a cruise. Thank you very much.
This is true. It's very true.
Okay. And we did the last edition of Push or Flush. We talked about the price was wrong with a few contestants. We talked about how Buzzy Cohen got buzzed. And we talked about what we're going to see during the summer. And of course you had a new edition of Touch 'Em All. I haven't been on in so long. It's just real life has just gotten in the way, but I know
it was a very good installment that I'm going to edit and send over to Carl before the start of the weekend. Lots of things we touched base on, the surprises in the respective divisions right now. Another look at this week in suspensions.
Oh, Marlon Berg.
Well, we didn't get to Marlon Byrd. That happened after the recording, but my goodness, his career might as well be over. Mm-hmm. And fair warning, Carl, you're going to need to put at least a couple of dozen bleeps in this episode.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, because DC went off. Yes, you heard right. DC, Mr. Preschool advisor, if you will, he cussed like a sailor.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
And that's amazing stuff. And that right there is worth the price of admission, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, JD Hernandez, Jess Brand, by the way, happy birthday, Jess.
Yes.
And DC Lundberg talking baseball. And actually, JD talks about his recent trip to Cleveland. And
yeah, with the whole beard, man. Do you see his pictures of him? He's got like the whole beard going right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, well, you know, he can get away with anything because A, he's a marathon runner, and B, he also likes Fruit Loop dogs in Cleveland. Oh my God, you sick son of a gun!
He did that.
He did. Yeah. And he said it was. First of all, they were authentic Fruit Loops. They weren't, you know, Millville cereal generic fruit holes. Mm-hmm. So
and there's only one place he'll go when he's going to Cleveland. You know where he's going.
Yep.
Hi, Klaus. Yep. How you doing?
Yep. And he went to the queue to see the Cavs game. How the hell did they score? That's a damn shame that they scored tickets for that. That's kind of sad when you think about it.
Speaking of the Cavs, they lost game one tonight. Just wrapped up about 5 minutes ago.
Not a shock. Not a shock.
I had a lead in the third quarter, though.
I have Golden State in 5 if you're scoring at home.
Wow. But okay.
Golden State, just ridiculous.
Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, okay? Let's give Klay Thompson his due because especially in the playoffs, he has stepped his game up and stepped his chain up, gang.
Well, today was some other guy. I forgot his name offhand.
Yeah.
Draymond Green?
No, it was another guy.
We'll get to that eventually. What else podcast-wise? Red State, Blue State.
Sean Livingston.
Yes, Yeah, Jim, we got to put tomorrow a message night, in. Yep. Tomorrow night, we got to do it because California, here we come. And remember, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I called this.
Toot, mother. Mm-mm.
Yes, exactly. Because I said that the Democratic convention was going to be the one with a lot of trouble. We've got a potential really situation here, okay?
However, especially if Bernie somehow wins California, which may not be as far-fetched as you might think.
Right, exactly. If Bernie wins California, all bets are off.
Can we also spend time talking about the biggest endorsement Donald Trump got?
Paul Ryan.
No. I was talking about Kim Jong-un.
Oh, and well, yeah, okay, fine, whatever, you know.
Yedge, it's Yedge.
Yeah, but I'm going to get to this. The question is that when are we going to actually treat him as a regular candidate and not
never,
a
joke? Never. I don't mean this to be, you know, devil's advocate.
Are you talking?
Ever get fair treatment because of his stature? Because it's the American way to knock somebody down who's at the top.
Oh, are you saying now? Let me ask you something.
Elitism.
Are you doing it in that same way, or are you doing it as a parody of that? I'm just asking.
You know, a little bit, but I am to a degree, but I just don't want to see a guy who has a Napoleonic complex.
Mm-hmm.
In power, because if he's angry one day at, let's say, Germany, he could press the red button and bomb them to smithereens.
Oh, you mean? So, in other words, the guy for the last 8 years doesn't have a Napoleonic complex?
Mm. Not nearly to that degree. No.
We'll talk about that
on Red State.
Can I steer this show elsewhere?
Yeah, we're going to. Yes, and of course,
Carl, you want to mention football.
No, we're going to get there in a minute because I just want to quickly talk about Pixel Nation. That'll be back because E3 in about 2 weeks. We'll talk WWE 2K17 and a bunch of other stuff going around and all that good stuff. But, yes, the BSFFL is back. It's back, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to bring that up shortly. But once again, real life got in the way of getting something that needs to be done.
The happy, you know, we have to do our honeydew catch-up, if you will.
Yeah, it's going to be, 7 to 8 weeks worth of catch-up if we ever get it done.
It'll be a 7 to 8 hour podcast. It'll be wonderful.
We'll try to go for Tuesday again.
Tuesday, yeah, I think that should be okay.
Yeah, Jason mentioned BSFFL. In the first day of signings, we already have 12 returnees, including us three. But I have some sad news to pass. I have a note here from our good buddy out of Staten Island. Because of Carrigate, he's imposed a one-season ban.
Oh, come on, Tom. Come on, Tom. I'll buy you an extra special corrugated cardboard box.
Carrot gate?
You remember last year his friend Kara was picking?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well.
So anyway. But yeah, 12 out of the 20 spots available. We'll probably have pretty much most everybody returning, including the Fred House Sports guys.
Absolutely. We're going to bring I'm in their league. They're going to be in ours, I hope. So.
And the only other big change this year, I believe, is going to be the name of the conference. I decided to go with the two retirees in another sport.
Vin Scully and Dick Enberg.
Yeah.
P.S. Vin, stop eating the humble pie. When Fox asks you, would you like to take over for Joe Buck announcing the All-Star game? You take over for Joe Buck. Just saying.
He said no.
He politely declined.
He said no.
He said no.
Good grief. Wow. Dude.
And Joe has been on record saying, hey, if Vin wants to do it, by all means.
Excuse me. That's the one time I will agree with Joe Buck. Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, people. Yeah, but all of these great podcasts and more are available on SpectrumOne.net, TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn app, Stitcher Radio app, Player.fm,
Player.fm app.
Player.fm, yep. Shout, what? Overcast.
Mm-hmm. Google Play Music, iTunes.
Yep.
And everything. So there you go.
It's somewhere in Egypt, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, somewhere near Abu Dhabi where Nermal's being kicked to the curb. Poor Nermal. The cutest kitty cat in the whole wide world. Okay, anything else that we have to shill here?
Pray for us. Because we kind of limped to get to this part of the show.
Without getting into the inner workings, yes.
No, we're all right.
The last couple of weeks have been kind of rough for everybody.
Right. So, but you know what? We're getting ready to start the 10th season, and we're going to be bigger and better than ever. We're going to have more guests, more great wrestling conversation, and less Jason. No, less Jim.
Oh,
Williams.
No, less me.
Less ponies. Less ponies.
No. No.
Good luck with that, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
We got a hostess who's getting off-site work. We got a soundboard that's broken. I mean,
We'll get there. Even
Mike Francesa has had some bumps in the road, and he's an overinflated Pope figure. So there you go.
I do have another shout out though from another longtime person of this podcast. What? Go Typho.
Yeah.
Changing careers from going to becoming a pro wrestler into broadcasting.
He's gone to broadcasting school. I've listened to some of his stuff. Not bad at all. And he takes my suggestions, which means...
Yeah, find him on SoundCloud. He's got like a little four-minute sports recap that he did today.
Very proud of him. And we at Typho, we want you back on the show. Just saying. We'd love to have you back.
Yeah, he's become our version of Ben Tucker in terms of manias.
Ben Tucker.
Traveling to the last couple.
You can't help but not see Ben Tucker at an event, and we mean that lovingly. Ben, we want you back on soon, bro.
Although I think he's gone to less ones lately.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully, Nikki Hammond will be in her proper chair next week so I can go back and clean some muffins out of the sound room. Our thanks to Shotgun. I'll just ruin it and say his name is Gene Mother King Aguilera. But we're calling him Shotgun because we want to help him get over. My thanks to Carl Schneer, as always, for being the basso profundo, as Jason said before we went to air. I had to look it up, too. And thanks, as always, to Jason Block and to you for listening in, because without you, there is no us, in the words of Chico Alexander, who still thinks that Stone Cold Brokeback Mountain is a thing. We will do this again, same bat time, give or take, same bat channel, give or take. So, for all of those involved, I'm Jim Williams. This has been the NAWC, proudly presented, at least I think it is proudly presented, by WrestleChat.net and the Freaking Awesome Network. Our time's up. Until next time, stay golden, pony boy. We'll be right back.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.